This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Craig Hoffman.
We're staying in downtown Nashville, which was an absolutely god-awful, terrible idea. 2:30 in the morning, and it sounds like there is a group of girls coming into our room. That's how loud they were in the hallway and how thin the walls were. Just way too many woo girls.
Woo!
The Hoffman Show.
They're still wooing at by 3 o'clock in the morning. Rachel gets up, walks to the door, looks out the peephole. They are riding a luggage cart down the hallway at 3 o'clock in the morning.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Woo!
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Hour number two, which means we're 2.5 hours from the WNBA draft. We'll be live on YouTube at the Team 980 during that second screen experience. You can watch the draft and then also watch us, listen to us, however you want to do it. At that point will be me, and at least it's up for some part of that. Yep. Your broadcast partner, Megan McPeak, will be joining me. Christy Winters-Scott is with us for the radio portion of the proceedings today. And Christy, we're talking mostly WNBA draft. That is obviously the big story in the world of sports today. Mystics with three picks in the top six. But it's also the end of the NBA season. So I say we talk a little Wizards now. We can also take a look at the NBA playoff picture because that was a crazy. I don't know, how much hoops did you get to watch yesterday? I don't know. Were you doing Wizards stuff yesterday?
I was
yesterday?
Doing Wizards, yeah.
Pre and post. I'm sure you guys had the screens going.
It was so much fun, though, because they also had the alt cast in there. So Steve Buckhance was in there and J.P. Finley and Jimmy Patsos. We also had Aaliyah Edwards.
We
plugged her in from New York. So we had a segment with her in the first quarter, which was great to touch bases with her. And then also Buzz Williams was in for the second half. And Gravis Vasquez was in on that segment of the alt cast. So, we saw
some
a lot
real
of
turf
we saw
power
a whole
right
game.
There. Love that. Got great games across the league yesterday. But for the Wizards, ending, I mean, it's
a lot of overtime. Seriously.
What a weird way to end this season. Yeah. Where we've talked about this with like Dave Johnson all year long, and we can be adults about it. We know the score for this year. This was not a season that was designed to win a championship in 2025. Right. And in fact, there was actually benefits to being the dead last team in the standings because of how the lottery works. Well, they've evened out the lottery odds. The big thing that I don't know that people fully appreciate, Christy, mm-hmm. I know you know this, but for the viewing and listening audience, right, is they've evened out the lottery odds. So the top or the bottom four teams, I believe it is, have a 14% chance at the number one pick.
Utah.
But because the Wizards finished second, now the lowest they can drop is sixth. If they had won or lost yesterday and thus been tied with Utah and they actually held the tiebreaker, they would have been the worst. They would have been the worst team in the league at the bottom of the standings with the tiebreaker. And so the worst they could have picked is fifth. Now, it's still likely that they will win one of those first four spots or that they would be fifth, because both them and Utah would have to lose out on all those lotteries for the Wizards to finish sixth. But that's why it was so important. It was to limit, especially in what many consider a five-player draft, to not have the sixth pick. And so you have this euphoric moment for Bub Carrington where you're like, oh, heck yeah, Bub. Game winner to wrap up the season. But you're also just going, oh, no. What? Please, please, basketball gods, reward the win, not all this strategic planning, we'll call it, all year long, getting ruined by one of your young players having an outstanding moment and winning a basketball game in improbable fashion.
Oh, my goodness. That shot, first of all game long. You can just talk about the defense that was played, I thought was stellar. But that last shot, man, I got emotional in the studio, because when he looked up and pointed to the sky for his dad, man, I lost my dad 6 years ago, and it's still...
Yeah, for those that don't know, Bub lost his pops, what, about 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, less than a month, and it's still... And he didn't miss a game, and he played all 82 games. His family was in the stands. He was looking at them. You could see his eyes were a little glassed over, and it was, for me, and outside of all the draft things and all the whatever, wins, losses, whatever, that was such a win. In so many ways, for the district, for the fans, for Bub, right? For the team. Did you see how they rushed over there? Like, I'm seeing it right now, real time, in my memory, just slow motion. They were just running over to him, like, with the joy and, you know, for him in that moment to make that kind of shot. Smooched it high off the glass. I don't know how he got that shot to go.
The whole time, I'm
Jaime
just
Jaquez
like,
draped right in front of him.
There's no way he both got that off and it's going in. And then I just, and every replay I saw, I'm like,
oh,
no,
man,
that's, there's
pictures.
No way that's just, that just happened. It's,
it's
such
beautiful.
A just beautiful, improbable, acrobatic, athletic, unlikely shot.
Yeah.
And it all, by the way, happens because of just Miami inbounds the ball and they win the game. Instead, they go backcourt violation.
Oh, three toes over that line. Yeah. I was like,
I was like, okay, here we go.
I got it. Yeah.
I had posted on social, the Wizards will finish the season with the worst record in the league. I jinxed it. It's my fault.
Oh, see? That's so why you that wait
was,
until the
I was
final
like, I think
buzzer.
We're safe. The 4-point lead and the ball with 5 seconds to go. I thought we were good, Miami Heat. Apparently not. But I think overall for the Wizards, like, my overall thoughts on the season don't change based off that. And in fact, it's kind of my overall thoughts on the season while the lottery odds change, or the lottery positioning, which ping pong balls they have of the combinations change.
Right.
Like, it actually reinforces what I think big picture about this season, that this season is an absolute success for this team. Understanding the goals are what they are. That is to play young guys, get better, create opportunities, let those young guys seize on those opportunities and improve as individuals, but also within kind of this larger team construct. I mean, the confidence Bub plays with, the found gold of Keyshawn George.
How about
that? You don't get good players at the back end of the first round. They got a bona fide NBA starter.
Yeah.
Sar, just the fearlessness that he plays with to take shots, knowing that he's not there yet, but it's getting better, and to see it get better. I just think those three guys alone, nevertheless, talk about found gold. Justin Champagne's a player.
How about him?
AJ Johnson in the trade.
Yeah.
Like, that's five young guys in a season of discovery that you're like, we got rotational players. They still need their star. They need whether it's Cooper Flagg or whoever they're going to get in this draft or the next one.
Right.
But, like, they got some dudes that are going to be good NBA players for a long time, and they got experience they never would have gotten in any other circumstances. And to me, that's a success.
No question about it. I mean, there are wins in the win-loss column. I get it. But there are wins on a daily 1% improvement level that occurred this season for this young Washington Wizards team. I mean, you said it, right, with Alex Sarr. I mean, his base got better. He was able to stay more on balance when he was trying to maneuver down in the paint, and his footwork got stronger and better because of his strength that I thought he really got better with, especially after the All-Star break. But I just think for him to have 100 points, 100 rebounds, 100 blocks as a rookie.
100 threes too, right?
100 threes. Yeah. 100 threes. I think for him, like, that for me was pretty amazing. And then for Bub to play all 82 games, that was perfect attendance for him. And then Keyshawn, I mean, he's a Swiss Army knife. I know he has a Swiss background and all this stuff, but just what he was able to do defensively, and not necessarily, I mean, his steals were okay, but his deflections and his ability to disrupt so many different positions on the court defensively, I thought that was through the roof. And A.J. Johnson, listen,
I want to jump like that once in my life.
Just one time. Once. I've had some really good basketball dreams where I've had some dunks like that and had the best day when I woke up. Just not in real time. But at the same time, man, listen, he is insane in terms of his physical abilities to make decisions like that. We were talking about being rapid in terms of how you are going to attack and when, where, how. And he has that. And not to mention, like, the vert is like – kangaroo-ish. He's swords in the air. It's like insane. But you know, he's got a tremendous upside, as do all the rookies, but all four of them. And then Justin Champagne, I just think, you know, the 8 double doubles of his career were all this season.
Yeah.
And his ability to rebound the ball is just, I mean, he has a motor and he has a neon green light in terms of that. So the energy and the effort and the focus that he continues to bring to the floor, I think is something that, you know, is, it can't be said enough.
Even though they didn't win a lot, I think this is a team that by the end of the year, a lot of these young guys knew how to win.
Yes.
I don't know that they're capable of it from a talent standpoint for the collection they were put on the floor. But it, to me, like, in a weird way, and I mean this sincerely, I mean this genuinely, this is not a backhanded compliment. They had to play essentially the Capital City Go-Go in order to be what they wanted to be in the standings. Because if this team had played, with all due respect to Colby Jones, who had moments, and like some of these guys that came in that were maybe like AJ probably in an ideal situation, like on a winning team, just like it was in Milwaukee. He's going back and forth between the G League and the league, right? They had to play guys like that, because if they had played Bub, Sar, George with Chris Middleton and Jordan Poole and Marcus Smart on a regular basis, they would have won too many games.
Well,
and
next year, though.
That to me is exciting, right? Like, it wasn't just that they got better from a skill standpoint. I think they understood how to play winning basketball. Mm-hmm. And that to me is, like, I'll use the T word. That is tanking done right. If you were going to say we're strategizing over the long term to maximize our draft position because we know we're going to have this small window of a couple of years to accumulate talent. And once we get into the middle of the lot, like once we're too good for that, it's hard to get the kind of players that we need to get. And that is just the way the league is. But it's very different the way they did it versus what the Sixers did back in the day, right? For the process, like, we actually, this is a very silly thing that is 100% true, Christy Winterscott. At the men's Final Four in Dallas in 2014, I was broadcasting live at the Fan Zone thing.
Okay.
And we invented a game called Is That Guy a Philadelphia 76er?
Now, we have kept that. Who he played for? Is that the who he played for?
It's basically
for
who he played for. Okay. But the answer was like 76er or guy I made up. Or guy that played for the Sixers in 2007 or something like that. Now, we have kept that tradition going because Anthony and I play a game around Nats opening day called Is That Guy a Washington National? Because the Nats are also embarking on a rebuild.
Okay.
But the point was with the Sixers, how did we do on that game, Anthony?
Not good.
Yeah,
oh,
not
no.
good. Not good. Very entertaining. Not very proud moment for either of our baseball knowledge. But the Sixers, like, had dudes that were that just flat out didn't belong in the league.
Okay.
They were European players. And, like, no shame on that. I would have loved to have been a European basketball player. I would have loved to have been that good. Yeah. But there's a difference in, like, that dude belongs in France versus that dude's a bona fide NBA player. The Wizards were playing future NBA players more minutes than you'd want to play if you were trying to win games this year. They were truly trying to figure out, how do we get our guys experience? How do we get our guys to be better? And I think doing that is the right way to, because at that point you could say this is a long-term strategy, not tanking.
Right. I mean, I think you're also, through that process that the Wizards went through this season, all of those rookies really gained some invaluable experience that all of the NBA, former NBA guys who have been in studio, like Tony Massenburg and Gravis Vasquez and Jason Smith, they all said, hey, man, that's not a common thing.
They all probably wish they had that.
Those big minutes on the court, real time in games playing against 35-year-olds, you know, you can't measure that. And I think those reps that they got real time in games is going to show and prove as the years unfold moving forward. But I really think that they took advantage of every single opportunity that they were afforded this season. And I'm proud of them. I mean, that's what I came walking away with. I'm not even looking at how many wins, how many losses or whatever. What did you do?
Yeah.
Right. And I think that goes back to playing and coaching I don't remember, like, as a coach anyway, like, how many games we won. Like, what was our effort? Like, there were games that I coached that we won that we did not play well.
Yes.
And it felt like a loss, right? So I understand that dynamic of pouring it all out there. And I think every single one of the players poured it all out there. And that's what you want, because that's what makes you better.
Right.
You don't, and when you say, like, okay, we had certain players on the floor for a certain number of wins or losses or whatever, okay. But at the same time, the players who were out there, they were competing their butts off.
Yes.
And
that's what you want.
You can't take that away from their efforts, right? They come in and practice every day. They come out for shoot arounds pretty much every game.
And I think
travel,
because of that,
82
like,
games.
Guys like Colby Jones,
yeah,
I think are going to have a place in this
sacrifice.
League. And I don't know whether it's going to be with the Wizards, but like, he might get traded at some point or sign a, you know, or whatever contract, because you can't have, you know, 10 ninth guys on your roster, but
right.
like someone needs to be the ninth guy on your roster, and he could go be a quality ninth guy somewhere else in 3 years. And you're like, oh, I remember when that dude was on the Wizards.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's like a bunch of dudes on this team, and they're, like, I'm very, very, I'll close with this thought. I'm very impressed with Will Dawkins' eye for talent.
Yeah.
And obviously he's got Travis Schlenk, who's phenomenal, and other guys that work under him. So, you know, Will, I'm giving credit to your staff if you ever see this too, but you're good at your job too, sir.
Yeah.
And I think
puzzle
that's,
pieces, man.
You know, whether it's the go-go, how they used it, the trades they make, like Keyshawn, that, I mean, again, found gold. Like, I'm very, very impressed with the young collection of players they had, how they played. I think BK grew a lot as a coach throughout the year as well.
Yeah, he said.
And so there's a lot to be proud of and a lot to look forward to. Obviously, you need talent, and that's the next step, which is why they embarked on the type of season they did. But we'll see where this goes. Rest of the NBA playoffs are going to be phenomenal. Christy and I are going to talk about that next, and then we'll get back to the W draft here on the Team 980.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Christy Winters Scott with us today as we are at Capital One Arena ahead of the WNBA draft. That is in New York tonight.
Almost time, baby.
It is. We're getting there. We're a little over 2 hours away. Just real quick though, Christy, we were talking a little NBA here.
Yeah.
The NBA playoffs. Well, so the NBA, I don't know how to term this. Like the playoffs, playoffs are set, except for the playoffs aren't set because that's the eight teams and we still have the play-in tournament.
Play-in.
The play-in and half of the playoffs are set. Are you a fan of the play-in tournament?
I mean, I don't know. It's, I hate to say, no, I don't like it.
I don't either. Maybe
don't
I'm
like
just
it.
A traditionalist.
And I like 64 teams in the college. That's just me. I'm not, and I have three kids, but it's not like that in life. Everybody gets a trophy or a certificate thing. You gotta earn it, and
it's wild to
play.
Look here.
Sorry if that's, you know, if that offends anybody.
Like,
that's my opinion. You asked me the question, that's my opinion.
It offends me.
And I'm sticking. It does?
Yes.
You think there should be a play-in?
I think the play-in is interesting.
It's manufactured interesting.
I mean, it is manufactured.
What's interesting about it? It's like do or die.
I mean, it's interesting because you can have a team like the Lakers, for instance, be the 8th seed and make it to the conference finals. Like, I think that is interesting.
Yeah,
and
but if they were just the 8th seed, they could.
But they were a part of the play-in. They were a part of the play-in.
Okay,
well, they should have done better
like
in the regular
season. Be better next year and get the 8th seed and play the 1 seed. Period. That's like, where I am.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. It's like being handed like a I don't know, handed a lollipop. Here you go, and here you.
But it's also like
playing in these games, and then you get to play another one.
Here's this lollipop. Lick it twice, and then go get run over by a bus because here comes the one seed.
Here comes the one seed.
And like
I don't know. The 68. I don't know. And the NCAA. I don't. It's the same thing. It's like you got to earn it. Like to me, that's like sacred ground. The 64, and then the playoffs 1-8.
I would be more okay with the 68 if they didn't make the two 16s. If it was all the 11 seeds.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you could win your conference tournament and then.
I agree with that.
Okay, hey.
Because we made
Someone's got to be a 16. We get it.
We're here. But we earned it.
Right.
The 11s.
The 11s are the last team out. Like how. That
why are we relegated to play in when we earned an 11 seed? That's why.
This year in the West, the. Golden State Warriors and the Memphis Grizzlies are tied with 48 wins. The Kings are the 9 seed with 40, and the Mavs are 39-43, and they get a play-in spot. By the way, 10 teams get to the postseason. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Face smiling.
If only five teams get eliminated, you proud of that, Anthony?
Lollipop games.
Maybe not this year, but I think years past, it's been interesting, the play-in tournament.
He's over there giggling.
Because he knows he's wrong. He knows it's embarrassing. If you're like the 9 seed or below and you didn't win over 41 games and you're not above 500, they should eliminate the play-in.
I mean, hey, that's valid. Okay, that's
valid.
You know why it's never going to happen?
We're getting them in there.
It's never going to happen because of money.
Well,
that's what it's all about.
I get that part too, but
I'm just a
basketball, you know, purist.
Yeah, if you're going to get annihilated by the one seed, you earn it during the regular season, not during the postseason.
Yeah.
I don't know, because also this year the play-in games are. I mean, there's a couple in the East that are injured. Like, the 7-8 games in the East. And I guess I will say this. If you're going to accept that the play-in is a thing, I actually like the format of it.
The format is fine.
I will give them that. That if they're going to have this thing that none of us want, and by none of us, I mean me and Christy, and Anthony's. There's a reason he's off camera today.
We're getting reeled into what we're talking about.
The reason is our setup here in Capital One Arena. But we're going to pretend that it's because it's play-in take. The 7-8. 9-10 versus 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9. I actually do like that.
I like that. We're doing it.
7-8, winner advances. Loser plays the winner of 9-10. That loser's out. And so you get – I like that.
I like that. I mean, if we're going to do it,
then
I prefer to have it done that way.
Yeah. By the way, those games, they start tomorrow night.
Tomorrow
Orlando and Atlanta tomorrow night. That's a 7-8 game in the East. And then you have the 7-8 game in the West.
Yeah.
Golden State, Memphis. That's a banger.
I love that matchup, though.
Yeah.
I do love the matchup.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it. I'd just be equally as excited if Memphis was the 8th seed and Ja was going to try to go crazy against the 1 seed Golden State. And we just had Houston Golden State as a 2-7. Like, I don't need the extra chicanery.
Yeah.
I don't need the extra game.
Agreed.
The Bulls Heat is the Wednesday night 9-10 game. And then you have Kings Mavs, a game that I will 100% be asleep for, on Wednesday night. And then the remaining games are on Friday. Playoffs start on Saturday. We want to talk a little bit more about the playoffs, and then we'll get back to the draft.
Yeah, right. Because the West. We had to go to the West because the Lakers series with Minnesota.
That's going to be fun. There's a lot of good matchups.
That's the one I have circled with.
All right, so
a red Sharpie.
We'll get back to the W draft starting at 5:45, but we're going to dive into the Western Conference playoff picture next here with Christy on the Team 980. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Christy Winter-Scott with us today. We are live at Capital One Arena ahead of the Mystics draft. All right, WNBA draft tonight. It might as well be the Mystics draft. They got three
it's
of the first
Mystics
six
draft.
Picks.
At this point, it's the Mystics draft.
Yeah, where all the good stuff is happening. The top of the draft, that's where the Mystics own three of the top six.
Yeah.
3, 4, and 6. We'll get back to that draft here in just a little bit. If you're like, I want that now, we talked about it for the first hour of the show. You can use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app or on YouTube. This show is way better with Christy sound effects, by the way.
I just chime in.
You just want to do the show with us every day? Like, we're here every 5 days a week.
I love it. It's fun
just,
for me.
You know, on segments where you're just like, yeah, this ain't basketball. This ain't my – just sound effects. That works.
Oh, sound effects.
I'm sure you got
good.
Football takes and stuff, too.
I mean, here and there. I mean, not as many.
You pay attention.
I do pay attention.
You're a fan. You got stuff.
I'm a fan,
you got stuff that you know
hoops
about.
Hoops is my jam, though.
Yeah, so. You're quite good at it. So the Western Conference playoffs in the NBA, in theory, on paper, Christy,
okay.
Historical precedent here, this should be the Oklahoma City Thunder Invitational.
Man.
Because – I don't have the updated numbers, but I remember looking these up when the Warriors were going through like their dynasty. And to that point in NBA history, this is now 10 years ago. When did that happen? This is now like 10 years ago, right?
Okay.
I think there was 9 teams, I want to say, that had a point differential for a season of double digits, right?
Yes.
So on average, they won games by more than 10 points, mm-hmm. Even if you factor in their losses. Like their point differential in the season, plus 10 or more.
Right.
And I think there was 9 teams that had done that in the history of the league. 8 of them had won championships. The only one that didn't lost to another team because 2 teams did it in the same year. It was like a Lakers-Celtics thing in like 1960, whatever.
60s, wow. Okay.
The Oklahoma City Thunder this year are a 68-win team. That their point differential, they're plus 12.9 on the year.
That's crazy.
But I don't think that most people see it that way.
Right.
Because they're young. They haven't made deep playoff runs, which is typically a prerequisite as well to being good. Now, those 2015 Warriors hadn't either. But you also have Luka and LeBron together in L.A.
You do.
And you have Jimmy, if they could get out of this vaunted play-in thing, you have Jimmy and Steph and Draymond in Golden State, and their winning percentage since Jimmy showed up has been very similar to what Oklahoma City's has been all year long. So as much as this, by historical precedent, should be Oklahoma City's to lose by a lot, I actually feel like this is a wide-open Western Conference.
I agree with that. I mean, just speaking about the 2015 Warriors squad, everyone's talking about, okay, Clay and Steph, they're letting it go, Draymond doing what he does. But they were one of the best defensive teams.
Yes.
They were the best defensive team in the league, right, for those 4 rings that they earned and won.
Top 5 offense, top 5 defense. Imagine why they won.
Why? You know, but we don't talk about the defense enough, right? So you're looking at this OKC team. They're very young, but they get in a stance and they defend you, right? And you're talking about SGA, okay? Yes, he's the front runner for MVP, but he defends too, right? He's
part
not just
why
a
he's the front runner.
One way, right?
He's and not also just a he one averages way 32 a game.
How about that? But he also, and on the string defensively, is the team. And that's why they've been able to win 68 games. And yes, you have to be able to do both, obviously. But to be able to sustain both over the course of the season as effectively as they have, that for me pushes them away and pulls them away from the rest of the pack because of how well they've been able to defend people. So, I mean, for me, the Golden State series, I think that's going to be really intriguing to watch. I mean, they could have gotten out of that play-in situation had they won in overtime. But Draymond missed that shot in regulation, which he just didn't square up. He just kind of drifted in there.
What do the kids call that? He smoked it, Anthony.
He smoked it. Yeah, he smoked that one. Smokey Robinson is what I call it. you know, I added
except
in.
Except for it's not smooth.
It's not smooth. But that was a rough way to end. But you know, here they are presented with this challenge, and I think their winning attitude, although they're a little older, it didn't seem to bother Steph in Paris in the Olympics. I just think that they're going to come prepared. They're going to be hungry. No, they don't like the position that they're in the playoffs, but they're in the playoffs.
That like so Houston won 52 games and is the 2 seed and is very, very good. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, if we make picks on this and Golden State, you know, wins, tomorrow night against Memphis and they're the 7 seed, I'm picking Golden State in that series. Now, they also, it is worth pointing out, in that game yesterday, Jimmy Butler took a massive knee to the thigh from Kawhi Leonard.
The left leg,
and we know how those things can be. I'm sure you got Charlie Horse in your career, especially as a shot blocker. Getting up there and Christy, you are
so
lucky.
I got one Charlie Horse in my calf. But I never got hit in the
quad
in the
like
knee.
That?
No,
oh,
thank God.
Oh, that hurts. You got it happen too?
Yes.
It hurts.
See, I was finessed.
Brutal.
So I ain't playing all that mud like y'all were down in the trenches. I was over here, like shooting and running.
Shooting and running, and then coming in afterwards and getting the rebound.
Yeah.
Oh, nice work in the trenches. You forced a miss.
Oh,
that's mine now.
Box out, you guys. Excuse me, and then I shoot it.
Yeah. that hurts.
That was me.
So bad. And
yeah,
those
never
things
happened to me.
Those things stiffen up bad. Yeah. So, like, I was not surprised that he finished the game. I will not be surprised if Jimmy Butler misses tomorrow night. Now, he's also Jimmy Butler. He plays through everything.
Yeah,
so,
put some Robitussin on and keep it pushing.
That is how Jimmy Butler operates. So, that's going to be interesting. But if they might match up against Houston, that young Houston team,
yeah,
I am picking Golden State in that series.
Yeah, because of the experience?
I just think they know how. And also, like, if Golden State is together with Jimmy all year, they're not the seventh seed.
That's true, too.
They are playing at a very, very different level.
That's true.
And I think the other thing, too, and this is where, like, if it ultimately is, say, Golden State versus OKC,
yeah,
or L.A. versus OKC, Denver, Clippers, like,
right,
pick anybody versus OKC. Styles make fights in the playoffs for the
NBA.
Yeah,
they do.
It is purely a matchup game.
Always.
I think Golden State is the team, like, I don't like the Lakers matchup against Golden State because I don't know who their perimeter defenders are.
That's been a conundrum.
They've got some guys that can do it okay. But, like, if you're Golden State and you got to deal with SGA, you can throw Draymond, you can throw Jimmy, you can throw Moses Moody. You have different looks, different body types, different strengths, different everything.
Yeah.
And you have the other two lurking around.
Yeah.
Like, Draymond is a team defender.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
And so that to me is the interesting thing is, like, I think some of these matchups get real interesting really fast in these playoffs. I know you said you had the Minnesota LA series circled. Is that a matchup thing where you're kind of interested to see how that plays out too?
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, going back to what you're saying about Golden State and Draymond being the low man on pick and rolls and being there on the help side, you know, I think LA is going to have to probably incorporate some of that kind of defensive schemes.
Let LeBron roam a little bit.
Let him roam and let him be in the help, right? But I don't know how, you know, Minnesota is going to structure that so he's not the low man and he's not in the positions to help in that way. So that's the beauty of it, is to watch all those things as the playoffs unfold. But I don't know. I think I'd like the LA Minnesota series because I want to see what Minnesota can do in the postseason without some key pieces that they had from last season.
Right.
I think I want to see what their postseason personality, if you will be, especially for Ant. I think that's going to be something that I'm going to be looking to see. Like, this is where you mature into your legacy, right? This is how you create your legacy, is in the postseason. So yes, he's a young player and all that on the Olympic team and all that. But now this is the playoffs, and now you get to make a statement against one of the biggest names in the league, right, in the Lakers. So I'm not talking about LeBron. We know about him. But I'm talking about the team. Like, you can come through and beat the Lakers
right
in this series. I think that's going to speak to what Anthony is able to be able to do in this game. So Anthony Edwards has got to come through. And I think it's going to be a lot on his shoulders. But I'm also intrigued again to see what kind of tactical adjustments – that are made not just in game one, but as that series unfolds.
The screws just get tightened. The details have to be sharper in the playoffs. And that's why it tends to favor experience.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you look back at the Olympics, you know what also used to be great for this is All-Star games.
Yeah.
Back when they try, like, back when, even like 2015 level tries, nevertheless 2005 level tries, nevertheless 1995 level tries, right?
Yeah.
You could tell, like, guys turn it up,
fourth quarter,
the Carmellos, the LeBrons, like
Kobe,
those guys, the Kobe, like, it was different.
Yeah.
And the young guys had to kind of earn that.
Yeah.
And in the Olympics, you saw it, like, the three best players on the court were LeBron. Well, actually, the three best players on the court were LeBron, Steph Curry, and somehow Victor Wembanyama. But outside of Wemby, was KD.
Yeah.
And, like, when those screws got tightened. And so when you are in the playoffs and you're Anthony Edwards, and, like, in the Olympics, Steve Kerr didn't trust you in those spots. And there's probably a reason for that. And so what happens now when, okay, it's a little different because now you're going to have the ball.
Right.
And maybe you're just not as good of a, we know the ball's going to be in Steph and LeBron's hands. You're not the guy we necessarily want in the corner. We want to space it with Devin Booker, whatever.
Right.
But I do wonder that for Anthony Edwards. Like, he's had moments in the playoffs where he's been sensational.
He's
also had moments where there's something to be desired.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to control the game. And I don't know if he's quite there yet, or he wasn't last year. But I think that is an interesting one because you also have a guy on the other side. Forget LeBron for a second, which, what a statement that is.
Yeah.
You talk about controlling a game. There are a few better than Luka Doncic.
How about that? I mean, that is also why I'm intrigued about this series, to see what Luka does for his legacy in a Lakers uniform. But, you know, Anthony Edwards earlier in this season, didn't he talk about, hey, man, they keep bringing all these bodies to me. They're blitzing me. There are two people in front of me. First of all, you never give up that, right? You never say, this is bothering me.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see that on film. Like, that bothers him. Like, yeah. I don't even have to have the sound up.
Yeah.
I'm watching that, and I see he's bothered by blitzing, yeah. and he's yeah. got to get the basketball out of his hand. I can tell that. But don't admit it, because yeah. guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing it.
Right.
you hate it?
And
good.
If I'm LeBron, I'm going to let you hear about it. you ain't figured out that blitz yet, huh, young fella?
Boom. And bring it again. And bring it again. And bring it again. That's, I don't, you know. But that's just me as a competitor. So
yeah.
you shouldn't have admitted that. But I think they're going to do that to him, with yeah. that being said, especially with Luka being on the floor. His defense has always been something that everyone has been alerted about as not being his strong point. It's getting better.
Here's your chance, man.
Here's your chance, right? Especially if you got to rotate out of those blitzes and just move on a string. And LeBron's probably in his ear. As soon as he lifts his foot, right, you got to be
right.
over here, right? So they've got to get that kind of defensive rhythm going, and that's what also intrigues me. But, Luka, this is your opportunity just as much as it is Ant's opportunity to create a legacy in your young NBA career
yeah.
in this postseason. But it's against each other. And then one of them has LeBron, the other one doesn't. So
yes.
that
nice,
part, too.
Nice. I'd rather be on the team that has LeBron. two other guys that I want to highlight real quick on the way out here in the Western Conference. One is in that series as well.
Yes.
The Lakers' size is not really there. Rudy Gobert, you want to rewrite your playoff legacy. Here's a very large opportunity, sir, mon ami, if you will. and then the Clippers,
yep.
Kawhi is suddenly healthy. If Kawhi Leonard is going to be healthy, like, watch out for the Clippers. They have been awesome as of late. They've won 8 straight games. They're 9-1 in their last 10. So
that's
watch
crazy.
Out for the Clippers going against a coach. Well, not coachless. They have put someone there, but a team that just fired their coach in the Nuggets. So that one's going to be a very interesting series as yeah. well. All right, we'll get back to the WNBA draft next. Of course, Ant and I will be talking about the NBA playoffs a lot more this week, and looking forward to those play-in games tomorrow night, since, you know, someone decided they were going to happen. Maybe Ant's looking forward to them more
this
than
one.
I am. Christy is. We'll get back to the WNBA draft next after this look at what's trending. The Suns have fired Mike Budenholzer. The coach that was meant to take that team to the playoffs is now looking for a job. Just an absolute disaster of a season in Phoenix, where they missed the playoffs 36-46 on the year. Not as bad as the season the New Orleans Pelicans had, and their front office is paying for it. Pelicans, who lost 7 in a row to end the year, finished the season 40 games under 500. Yikes. David Griffin is out as the executive vice president of basketball operations in New Orleans. Mystics make a trade today ahead of tonight's WNBA draft. Carly Samuelson traded to the Minnesota Lynx in exchange for a first-round pick next year. The Mystics will now have 3 picks in next year's draft. Not the way that I think the Mystics would have preferred to go about making that move. Certainly not the way Carly wanted to have that move made. She tweeted out, traded mid 10-hour flight, crazy, coming back from playing in Turkey, and found out when she landed she did not apparently have Wi-Fi on her flight. That's not a great look for anybody, sometimes I guess that is how business gets done. Samuelson at least is headed to a contender, and at least she's headed to Minneapolis in the summer and not the winter. That is what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Coming up at 6 o'clock, we will kind of reset everything, if you will, ahead of tonight's WNBA draft, including why all of this is happening in a much larger context for the WNBA. And I'm not talking about the survival of the sport and the popularity of the game and all these things that we've talked about for a long time, Christy Winterscott. Luckily, we can just be like, hey, we're looking forward at a big CBA negotiation. And to say that and to try to explain why it's so important for this draft is not something we can do in the next 5 minutes, so we're not going to try. We're going to do that in 10 minutes instead.
10 minutes.
We were just, I felt like we were just having a therapy session in the break there. I don't know how much you want to talk about all that stuff a little bit.
I can definitely do it.
I just thought it was interesting. So Christy didn't get the chance to play in the league because the league wasn't around yet. And had the league been around, you would have been drafted. And I was just thinking about, like, I wanted to make sure that I have my timelines and everything right, because I was like, oh, well, what was it like for you when you got drafted, whatever, like those moments. And certainly you've been around a lot of players who've been experienced that.
Sure.
But it turned into a very different conversation that I just think is fascinating and actually made me think of one of the players that we talked about earlier with Sonia Citrone, who's like this star in her role type of player. Mm-hmm. Or I think of even Aaliyah Edwards, and like Aaliyah was a star at UConn, but she like was celebrating the national championship that they just won. Like she was a part of it because she was in building it.
Absolutely.
But you're someone who multiple time first team all conference, like you were by resume. I'll phrase it that way.
I appreciate that.
Based off our conversation. By resume, you were a star. You're one of the all-time greats in Maryland history. But you didn't see yourself that way? When you look back on your career?
No. I love playing. And so for me, it just felt like I was just doing what I loved. And it wasn't anything that anyone owed me to say, hey, you're great. I didn't need to hear that. And not that I thought that of myself. I just wanted to hoop, and I wanted to win.
Yeah.
I love playing, but I hated losing, you know, more than I love winning. So that's that about my competitive fortitude. But I will say that every accolade, it was hard to accept, or everything that I'm going to start crying, Lord. Everything that I, you know, earned was, I don't know, it just felt like that wasn't, what I was after.
Yeah.
I wasn't playing for that, right? I was playing to win and playing to help my team that I was on, whichever high school, college, overseas, whatever. I wanted to win. And that was the bottom line for me. So, I mean, even like getting the jersey retired in high school, it's like I still can't look up at that when I go back to the school, because it's almost like you go outside, you know it's morning time, you know the sun is up there, you're not going to look directly into the sun.
Please don't look directly into the sun.
I'm not going to do that. But I know it's there.
Right.
And I know it keeps me warm. And I know it's something that, you know, in 100 years, great grandkids will come in there and say, hey,
great-great-great-grandma was a hooper.
I like that notion more than me looking at it and say, yeah, you owe me.
But is there any part,
like, that's not who I will ever be. Like, you don't owe me anything. Nobody owes me anything in the game. The game owes me nothing. I appreciated every opportunity to compete and to win, whether I was coaching or playing.
But now doing what you do in the analyst role, and you were a coach for a long time as well, right?
Yeah.
But, like, do you look back at, like, can analyst Christy look back at her career and be like, oh, no, she was pretty good. She's like, she earned those awards. Like, is there any piece of you that does that? Or is it just, is it too much to try to, you can't separate those two things?
I can't separate it. No, I mean, there are some, my son, Jordan, you know, he pulled up a video of me. And I, you know, I had a pretty quick turnaround jumper. I'm like, oh, son, look at that, a little turnaround jumper. He's like, you're playing against plumbers. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, whatever. I still had to make it, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, but for me,
just hit him with the Kyrie. You say, like, I don't see defenders, I see cones.
But I see cones.
Plumbers, defenders, I don't care. I didn't see cones.
Yeah. Minion, and I came down. No, it's like whatever. No, but for me, I don't know. It's like I never looked at myself like in an evaluative manner.
Yeah, even post-career.
Even post-career. I think, you know, I played with All-Americans and Olympians in college, and Deena Tate was an All-American point guard. Vicky Bullitt, a two-time Olympic player.
Right.
I practiced with them every single day. I got better because of that.
Yeah.
And playing, obviously, with them in games and just wanting to win. I mean, we went 29-3, went to the Final Four, but I was on that team.
Right.
So whatever I could do to impact winning is what I wanted to do, and not that I needed to be patted on the back for that. I just felt like I love this game so much, and I didn't need someone to validate that love by handing me a trophy or a certificate or something like that. I'm like, did we win though?
Yeah.
That's where I was with it.
Do you, last question on this?
No, I love it.
Yeah. Do you feel similarly about your career as a coach, or like, if for any accolades you may have gotten as a coach, hit differently? Where you're like, because I could see what I did for my players, like, I'll take that one. Or is it the same exact thing?
That, my dear friend, Craig, is a really great question. Because
mark that one down, Anthony.
Mark it down. Put a, what are the stickums or whatever?
Yeah.
Post-its. Listen, for me as a coach, I think it was a little bit different. In terms of that, because we would go undefeated and I'd be overlooked. as a coach several times over. And I'm like, that's all right. I don't need the paper. Let's get this net, though.
Yeah.
And that would rally the kids. And the parents would even say, like, you're our coach of the year, coach. Like, don't worry about it. It's like, hey, you know, it is what I, you know, it is whatever.
But you're like, I deserve that one.
We were undefeated.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we got the championship. Like, what else do you want me to do?
And we're up on the Nets.
Yeah.
And we got those several times over. We got a lot of regular season titles, you know, three Nets. So I'll take those over any certificate.
For sure.
But I'm never going to say, like, you know, give me that or, you know, I earned that. But at the same time, when other people come up and say that's not right.
Yeah.
Other coaches.
Yeah.
In within our district would email me paragraph long emails and say that was very wrong, or, you know, like that was handled wrong or was tied, and then they, you know,
whatever.
And I'm like, you know what? At this point, like, it's tied.
It becomes
like,
motivation.
It's whatever. So if someone was like last place and then now they're second.
Yeah.
Yeah, get coach of the year for the second place person, but we're undefeated. But that's it's all in your discretion, like how you vote and all.
It's subjective.
And then you can't split votes, right? You can't vote for your own kid. And then there was a splitting of a vote where it should have been co-players of the year.
Oof.
But there was a purposeful splitting of the vote. So that stuff,
that bothers you.
Bothers me. Yeah. And it bothered me, and I let people know about that in the room.
Yeah.
And they know who they are. but we cut the net 2 days later, so that's that about that on that.
If you got to choose one, we'll take
the
net over the trophy or the certificate.
Got my vein in my forehead.
I had to get you fired up for this last hour of the show. All right, when we get back, we'll get back to the WNBA draft. That was good. Quality story time.
Quality story time.
Christy Winter Scott.
Sweat beads over here.
So we'll reset some of the top prospects, some of the things we expect to see tonight. But coming up next, let's put this entire draft into context because.
Yes.
Ooh, the WNBA is going to be changing a lot over the next 18 months. We'll explain what we mean next on the Team 980.